And we will be in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. And this is my New Year's Day message, a week early, so we can prepare for New Year's with this message. Like all good Baptist preachers, I like to give this a title. I call this one, I Want to Be Brand New. I Want to Be Brand New. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. I know you've heard this parable before. But let's look at it again with new eyes. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17 reads, No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh up the garment, and the rent is made worse. Verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Amen. Now, my mom was a seamstress, which means I don't know how to sew. I'll still use black thread to sew up my white socks. So I had to do a little research on the whole cloth and garment thing. I guess if you put a new patch on old garment and then you wash it and it shrinks, it just makes the tear worse. So you put new patch on new cloth or you get new socks. Yeah, too. The wine I do know a little bit about because I used to drink it. So anyway, neither do new men put new wine into old bottles or whatever. And so I want to look at this from a parable perspective because the parable is the natural story that we can relate to because I can't comprehend what God is saying sometimes. But I can understand in the natural what the parable is saying, and from that parable it will give us spiritual revelation on what God is really trying to say here. Now, from a theological perspective, I've done some research. I looked at a bunch of commentaries. And this scripture is really Christ letting the people know at that time that the Old Testament has its place, but the New Testament and the New Covenant is a better agreement for us. And so it's how the new way of worship and the new way of living or whatever is better than the old way. Where before it was by obedience, and you know we never could really obey the law. But now we have a better deal, a newer covenant that's by faith. And we rely on His strength and His relationship. So it's just a better deal. But I want to look at this parable from a different perspective. Because why do we care about whether old wine, new wine, old wineskins, so what? What does that mean? And I certainly don't want to get into a theological argument on the Old Testament versus the New Testament. There's something different here. I want to look at it from a different perspective. Since the parable is a natural model of what's happening in the spiritual realm. So let's take a different perspective. So when Jesus talks about the new wine, what is that? And what does the new wine represent in this parable? Is it the new covenant? Is it the Holy Spirit representing new life in a new and living way? I say it's the Holy Spirit in the new covenant. Remember Christ. At the Passover, before His death, He had communion with His disciples. And they took the wine, and He blessed it. He said, this wine represents My blood, the New Testament, the new covenant. And when we take that wine, what we're saying is, Jesus is saying to us, I give you my life. And we in turn, in that communion, symbolically are saying, I accept your life and I give you mine. So I believe that the wine in this parable is the new spirit and that new covenant, that new testament, that new agreement, that new arrangement that he makes with us. And since we have Christ inside of us, that new wine, that new life as believers exists in us. That's the new wine. Now, second question. Then what is the wineskin? Think about it for a minute. If the new wine represents the new covenant and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of a person, what do you think the wineskin represents in the story? It is our body. It is us. So if the new wine is his spirit, and the wineskin is us, and he's filling us with us, he's filling us with his, that new wine, and where our body is the wineskins. Now we can understand what the parable is trying to say. Because what the parable says is, you don't take new wine and put it in old wineskins. Let's talk about that in the natural. Because in the natural, old wineskins have been stretched as far as they can go. And when you put new wine into old wineskins, it'll work for a while. But the new wine will ferment. And once it ferments, it expands. And when it expands, the wineskin, which has already been stretched to its max capacity, once that wine ferments and expands, the wineskin will break. Because it goes beyond its breaking point. Keep that in mind. The old wineskin goes beyond its breaking point when the new wine settles in and ferments. And when that happens, the scripture says, when you put the new wine into the old bottles, the bottles will break and the wine will run out and the bottles perish too. So you can't save the bottle and the wine is wasted. So I humbly come before you today and tell you I've been a professional Christian in my 60 plus years of living. For at least 40 of those years, probably 45. And for the vast majority of my Christian life, I have not done this the right way in accordance with this parable. Oh, I've been saved. But I've been changed. I've lived a changed life. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm a better person than what I was before because of the Christ that lives in me. Can anybody say that? Can we say that we are better people because God lives in us? Yes. Amen. And I've lived at least 40 of my 45 saved years or more living a changed life with a number of successes as I go along. So is there something wrong with the parable? There's nothing wrong with the parable. I just have not done this the right way for all those years. I've lived changed, but I have not lived brand new. And there's a difference between change and new. It is. Change means I can take the old thing and do some adjustments, and I can make that old thing better than it was before. Amen. And so I'm just talking about myself. I don't know about you. But I've been a successful Christian for a long time. And I knew when I first got saved that there was a change. Because I used to sin before I got saved. And after I got saved, a change came. And I did not sin as quickly or as often as I used to. But I would still sin eventually. I used to get angry. I mean, you look at me wrong. And you might get a look back and a couple of choice words. But I didn't do that anymore. It took me a long time to get mad. In fact, I might even tell you, it's a good thing that I'm saved. So I wouldn't get as angry as I used to, as quickly as I used to, because I am changed. Because God lives in me. But just like the wineskins will reach their breaking point, eventually I would reach my breaking point too. And I never realized that there was anything wrong with living changed as a Christian, because I could always look back and say, boy, you are better than you used to be. And as I read this, I realize there's a significant difference between being changed and being new. Being new involves change. But being changed does not always mean that it's new. If you buy a used car and it's better than the car that you had or the car that you didn't have, that's a good change. And you can put a new coat of paint on the old car, the used car. You can do some new mechanic work on the used car. They even got the new car smell that you can spray to make the used car smell like a new car. But everybody knows it's still not a new car, because the old car has all that mileage on it, and the new car is fresh. There's a difference. We'll settle for the old used car. Amen. Especially with these COVID prices. It's too expensive to buy a new car. I'd rather get myself a used car. But when you're looking at it from the spiritual perspective, you don't have to worry about the price. Because Christ has already paid the price for the new car. All you got to do is accept and walk in the newness of life. Here's why living a changed life is not as good as living the new life. When I was in seventh grade, I was a little round kid. And one of the upperclassmen used to pick on me for being round. And one guy would extort me for my ice cream money. 15 cents. Nutty Buddies were 15 cents back then. With the sugar cone, the ice cream, and the chocolate with the nuts on the top. The Nutty Buddy. You're big and fat. You don't need another Nutty Buddy. Give me the ice cream money. And for about half of the school year, this upperclassman would take my ice cream money. And one day, I had enough. And I stood up to him. And when he saw me stand up to him, he still whispered in my ear, you know, I could take you out anytime I want to. I said, yeah, I know. But this is over with. And he never took my ice cream money again. And I remember that like it was yesterday. And I carried that into my new season as a Christian. And I promised myself that I would never let anybody take advantage of me or disrespect me like that again. I never wanted to feel that hurt and that embarrassment and that disrespect again. So I got saved and I got changed and I still carried what I call ice cream money with me. And nobody knew what it was. But if you pushed me too far, or if I felt like I was being disrespected, or if I felt like you were trying to use me in a way that take advantage of me in some kind of way, you might hear me say, "Oh, ice cream money time." My wife found out what ice cream money time was. My children found out what ice cream money time was. Some folks on my job found out what ice cream money time was. Even some people in the church found out what ice cream money time is. And I tell you, if I had not become new and a state changed, some of you might eventually, if you hang around with me long enough, might find out what ice cream money time is. Because when ice cream money time hits, that's it. I've hit my breaking point. And I don't care what's on the inside of me. If I rode in here with Jesus, when it's ice cream money time, I tied Jesus off to the side, and I said, "Jesus, I don't need you for this one. I got this." Ice cream money time. And some of you are laughing because you know. Whether you call it ice cream money time, or me time, or mama time, or daddy time, or whatever time it is, it's that time in your past where you felt that hurt, you felt that sting, and you feel like, "I can't let that thing go." And the problem with living changed is you never really get beyond the past. All you do is sprinkle new car smell around it, or you make some changes around it, but it's still the old you, or the old hurt, or the old heartbreak, or the old disappointment that keeps coming up. And you got to keep fighting that thing over and over again, and eventually you'll blow up. And that Christian witness that's inside of you will leak out and it'll be of no good to anybody. And I lived that way. And I lived that way for such a long time. You know why I lived that way? One, I didn't understand the word like that. And two, it was working for me. It works. Think about it. You put the new wine in the old wineskins. Doesn't the old wineskin work for a while? Amen. It's not like it's going to bust right away. It works. And you just go about your life saying, "It's working. There's no leaks. It's working. It's working." And then something out of the old, something out of the past, because it's old, because it's not fresh, because it hasn't been touched by God, one day it'll burst open. Christians get mad and blow up all the time. My success was leading me to my downfall. So, why is the new better than the old? And like new and good as new still is not new. And the reason why the new is better than the old is because the old doesn't come over with it. It's fresh. It's never been used. It's flexible enough that it can contain and do what God has purposed it to do. Don't you want to be able to say that I'm not stuck in anything in my past? That my past and my past failures. I do prison ministry. I was talking to an inmate today. And he was crying out to me in tears, saying, I've treated my wife so badly. I've made so many sins. I just don't see how I can get past this. I'm like, oh, my brother. You need to be made new. All that old stuff. All those old sins. All those old mistakes. Put them back in the tomb. And come out brand new. So then, one of the inmates asked me a question, and I'll get to it later on. But just looking at why the new is better than the change. Well, the change means I'm just changing the new around, the old around. But the new goes, I never have to deal with the old anymore. It's done with. I'm new. I never have to deal with that hurt and disappointment again. I am new. So I don't have to deal with that. And I'm able to do things that I was never able to do before in my new body that the old body would not allow me to do. I'm able to love people like I was never been able to love them before because in my new body, I don't have the hang-up that I had before, but in my old body, I can only love you so far. In my new body, I will run you down to give you a fist bump and a handshake. But in the old body, if you don't smile at me, I can't do it because the old constraint. So the new is better. Let me tell you another reason why the new is better than the old. Because that's how God operates. God does not operate in a manner of change. His thing is new. And so I looked in the Bible and I just looked at all the places in the Bible where he talks about being new. Let me just read a couple of them to you. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. The Bible says that God is doing a new thing. The Bible says that God will put a new spirit in us. Just talk about God saying, I'll make you a new heart. There's new clothes. There's new wine and new wineskins. There's some place that says his mercies are brand new every day. They put them in a new tomb. He gave us new tongues. There's a new commandment. It said, take out the old lump and put in the new lump. He said, we're a new creature. You can be a new man or new woman or a new person. He said in Romans 6:4 that we should walk in newness of life. And then, I don't know about you, but I'm getting kind of long in the tooth. I'm waiting for what's supposed to be happening in Revelation. I'm waiting for the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And then I like Revelations 21:5, where Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. And my problem before all of this was God had made some things in my life new. But I had not given him all things because there were still some old things that I didn't need him to touch because I still wanted to hold on to it. Don't feel bad if you got some of the old stuff still hanging around. Abraham even had some old stuff when he got called out of his daddy's place and he left Haran. And God said, I've got something new for you, something that you have never experienced before. I'm going to give you a son in your old age. And Abraham went on this journey. And for years, they waited for the promise to come. They waited for the child. They waited for the child. They waited for Isaac. They waited for the child. They waited for the miracle baby. And sometimes Abraham, when he got scared and fearful, he would tell people that his wife was his sister. And one time it caught up to him. And the king said, you know, I almost slept with your wife. Why would you lie to me to tell me that your wife was your sister? And he confessed and said, ever since I left my father's place in Haran, I had this plan in my hip pocket that said, if I ever get in trouble, wife, tell him that you're my sister rather than my wife. Even though he was walking with God, even though he was standing on the promises of God, he carried that old loophole, that old parachute from his past into his future. And when it finally came in front of him and confronted him, that's when he said, I confess, I've been carrying this too long. Do you know when Isaac came after he made that confession? I wonder if Isaac would have come any sooner had he got rid of that old plan when he first left. I need God to bless me like never before. I need his best blessing. I don't want to carry or have that hindered or delayed because I carried something from my past because I didn't trust him in the new. And then one of the inmates this morning said, Chuck, minister, how do we get from the old changed mind to the new mind? I said, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you how it's done. First, you have to humble yourself. You have to recognize there's a need to change. If you think living your life as a Christian changed is better than living it brand new, then you'll never see the need to be brand new. And you'll just keep living changed. Better, but eventually it breaks. And your witness goes away. So you got to recognize that I'm tired of living like that right now. I want to be new. The second step is you repent. You change your mind about it. If you're not ready to change, everything I'm telling you and what this word is saying today won't be of much value to you. But once you recognize, I need to change. And then when you repent and you change your mind about staying the way that we are, then you go to the next step, the third step. And that is, you put your hope in God. And your faith in that word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. So I said to my brothers incarcerated, you need to find a word. You need to find a word that you can put your faith and hope in to be new. And you know what verse I gave him? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All that old stuff has to pass away. And they looked at me and said, wow, how does that work? It works like this. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here know that they have everlasting life? We can be interactive. Pastor will be back and, you know, but for today, let me make sure you understand. Because I missed this for a long time. How many people here know that you have everlasting life? Amen. How do you know it? In what? It's what you've been told. Okay. It's in the Bible. So, somebody told you something from the Bible, and you believed it to be true. And because of your faith in that word, you know that you have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. When you pray on a daily basis, assuming that you do, do you pray to God for everlasting life? No. You don't pray and ask God for everlasting life. Why not? You don't pray for everlasting life because you already have it. It's already been given by faith. So can you understand when they say, I said, how many of you know that your sins are forgiven? They raise their hand. How do you know that? Because it's in the Word. So you know you got everlasting life and your sins are forgiven by the Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you mean to tell me that since you believe in that, you don't ask God to give you everlasting life? They said, no, minister, we don't. Reverend Chuck, we don't ask God for everlasting life. We thank God for everlasting life. So I said, having the new life is real simple. Here's the verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I said, brothers, are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Then he is a new creature. Did it say that you might be a new creature? That one day you'll be a new creature? That if you click your heels 3 times and say there's no place like home, you'll be a new creature? No. He says if you're in Christ, you already are a new creature. So you don't have to pray about being new. And you don't have to pray about being changed. You can be brand new today if you believe that word. The same way that you believe that you have everlasting life. You can walk out of this place today and say, I'm brand new. By faith. I woke up this morning and the sink was full of dishes. And the dishes were there last night. And I'm like, I pay the rent. It's not my job to wash these dishes. Got my grown 29-year-old daughter here visiting. This ain't the Holiday Inn. Somebody needs to go bust some dishes. And I guess my wife said, hey, look, I'm on strike. I did all the cooking, so I'm not about to wash them. I'm like, well, it'll just be a roast day out today, because we, you know, let's just be in there. And that whole ice cream money thing started to come back. Them dishes will sit there till somebody. If you go to the house right now, those dishes have been washed and put away. I did it. I can't cook. I appreciate that she cooked. I can't carry that old stuff into my new future. I'm brand new. And I'm able to do things that I was never able to do before through the power of the Holy Spirit and God in my life. And yes, I'm not too proud to say that if I got to wash dishes to bring glory to God, I'm all right. I'm not going to bust. I'm not going to break out. It's not going to be ice cream money anytime anymore. I'm new. When I go into 2022, just like I came here with the Holy Spirit before I got here, and I'm leaving with more of the Spirit when I leave this place, I don't want to go into 2022 with any old stuff. I'm new. And as I got ready to pray for the inmate and sent him on his way, he said, you know, I had peace last week, but then it went away. And I started worrying all over again. I'm like, well, you got to hit it again. The enemy does not want you to be new. In fact, when I bought a new car, it seemed like everybody wanted to try to hit it. And the enemy always wants to mess up what God wants to do new in you. And if His mercies are new every day, He's fresh. I'm new. And every moment of the day, when something happens that wants to bring up the old stuff, I remind myself that I'm new. I'm new. And I can do things that I was never able to do before. And I can love like I was never able to love before. And I can serve Him like I was never able to serve Him before. Because I don't do it in my strength. I do it in my new body. And the power of God just keeps fermenting and getting bigger and bigger. And this new body can expand to give Him all the glory that He needs. The doors of the church are open. I've already preached to you too long. Let's get out of here and enjoy all this good food that we have waiting for us. I love leftovers. Where are we now? Okay. We are page 89. Thank you for keeping me straight there. Page 89. And you'll be happy to know that this is one that I know. Amen.